Welcome to Intellectual Intimacy, where we're having deep conversations with extraordinary people. This is Cabrina McLean, your host. And on this episode, I'm so happy to introduce you to Joan Thaxter Randall. She's an award-winning author, indie publisher, and entrepreneur of many businesses, including President CEO at Joan T. Randall Enterprise LLC and Victorious U Press. Here's my conversation with Coach Joan.
Coach.
Hello, Superwoman. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm fine. First, I want to say to you, I really feel honored to be able to learn from you. You're one of my mentors, and I look up to you. So thank you so much for your time with me this afternoon.
Absolutely. Anything for you. You are one of my mentors, too. I look up to you.
Well, the reason that I thought of you when I thought of the series is not only are you just like a really good person, but you do such an amazing job of uplifting other people, and it's so genuine. And you're one of the few people that I know that can take any experience of pain and create joy from it.
Wow.
So thank you. And I thought that was important is to share your story with folks, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you tell us first, who are you? Like, what do you do, right?
Right.
And then lead it to your story, okay?
Okay. Well, again, I am honored to be on with you today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for thinking of me. I'm Joan T. Randall. I'm a speaker, author, coach, and now publisher. And what I do is I help spiritual leaders and individuals of faith to create their blueprints to write and or publish their gift and expertise so that they can leverage their personal and or professional growth and create legacies. That's what I do in a nutshell. And I will take you through a brief synopsis of my story. I came to the United States from Jamaica because I met my husband, and I came here. And shortly after I got to the States, I found myself in a domestic violence situation, which turned extremely ugly. Because it's one thing to go through, you know, whether it is verbal abuse or emotional abuse, but when you have to go through all of the abuses, which includes physical, financial, spiritual to some extent, intimidation, and just a level of fear for my life to the point where I lost myself. It's hard because I became a shell of a person, like an empty barrel. I lost who I was because I felt isolated. That was the first thing that he did too. Isolation was a part of it. And so I thought about, you know, after the first 6 years of that, I didn't want to live. I didn't want to survive. I really just wanted to go to sleep. And so I came up with this grand scheme that I was going to take my life and the life of my children, because then I wouldn't have to deal with that type of living anymore. And I'd hid it from so many people. So I was living a lie. You know, I was pretending to be okay, but I was dying, like slowly dying inside. And so the day when I decided that I was going to take the life of my children, my youngest one stopped me, thank God. And it's a part of the book. I know at some point we'll talk a little bit about the book. Okay. And that was the turning point for me. She stopped me from taking our lives in a really spiritual way, because that's the only way I could look at it, Coach, is I think it was spiritual. I think God woke up that 3.5-year-old baby to come in my room and intercepted what I was going to do to us.
That's incredible.
And so that was the day when I felt like I woke up out of a fog. It was the day I woke up out of an existence that had me feeling like I was walking on eggshells. And I say I woke up that day because I felt like I had been asleep for the 6.5 years I was with my ex at the time. And that started something in me. That stirred something in me. My 3-year-old allowed something to stir in my soul. And it made me aware that I was still there, that I was still alive, that I was still human, and that I needed to make the change if there was any change that was going to make and was going to be made. And so it just, you know, started a domino effect of wanting to get out of there. And we finally were able to leave and, you know, one after the other. And today here I am celebrating just so many successes yes. of life, yes. you know, yes.
Yes. That's so incredible. As you were telling your story, you know, I felt heavy and then, mm-hmm. you know, and then I kept saying to myself, but she's okay. She's okay.
Yes.
You know, she's so heavy. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So fast forward and, you know, we just want to get to know you a little bit. Can you
yes.
kind of take us a little bit on your career mm-hmm. path and why did you become a coach?
So glad you asked that. So I started with Macy's years and years ago as a temporary associate. And then that became, one thing led to another. I became a part-time associate and from part-time to full-time. During my domestic abuse, Macy's was the catalyst for helping me to leave mm-hmm. because they promised me a job and literally transferred me in the mess that I was going through. So that was really, for me, the company that helped me. I mean, you always need somebody behind you to help when you have to get out of these difficult situations. And
Absolutely.
Macy's was that for me. And so I went to Florida. I worked as a part-time associate. I worked as a full-time associate. But someone saw something in me that I never saw. And his name is Thomas Strand. He was my manager. I was in the men's shoe department. And he literally took my hand and took me to HR and said, she has an ability. She has a leadership skill that is innate. And I believe in her and I need her to be promoted. And that started the promotion. So I got promoted as an assistant manager, then a manager. And then there was just this thing inside of me, because what happened was the work took over my life, right? When mm-hmm. I was at work, I gave it my all. When I was not at work, I was depressed, wondering where I'm going to lay my head that night. So work became my escape, and I just put my all into it, and then I start getting promoted. And one promotion led to another, one promotion led to another. And I found myself at every level of the company, assistant sales manager, then sales manager, then regional for HR, then regional for cosmetics and fragrances, to the point where I had Puerto Rico, New Orleans, and all of the DMV area. And that led to a senior role as a director. And then I became a vice president. And so that was my Macy's career. And I think that the reason why I just kept going is because I had something to prove to my daughters. I wanted them to know that domestic violence does not define you. As a matter of fact, hurdles doesn't define you. You know, adversities doesn't define you.
Absolutely.
There is something about the strength of a woman that no matter how you keep kicking them down or they keep falling down, they keep getting back
Tell
up.
Coach. Yes.
I just kept getting back up. And every time I got up, I learned a new lesson. And so that new lesson became the foundation for the next step. I fell again. I got back up. That new lesson became the foundation for the next step. And so at the end of the day, I built on all these lessons that I learned. So I don't call them failure. They were my lessons
Absolutely.
To get to this point. And when it was all said and done, I needed to encourage others to be able to move out of their position of being stuck. Because if I could do it, then anybody can. And so I wanted to impact lives, to create positive outcomes in others. And that's where the coaching came in.
Woo!
Right
now, like, wow, what do I say next? So, thank you for that.
So that merged into business owner, entrepreneur, author.
Yes.
So can you talk about your business and, mm-hmm. and your life as an author, please?
Yes. So when I left Macy's, I decided that I just wanted to speak. I wanted to share my story. I want to talk about someone who was not born in the United States, but came to the United States, suffered for the first 10 years of her life. Like,
wow.
For the first 10 years of my life, Coach, I was searching for Joan.
Mm-hmm.
I was searching for mm-hmm. Joan. And so for the next 10 years, I discovered her, and I was trying to just heal, forgive, and build on who she was. And so during that phase is when I did all my promotion in Macy's. And then the next decade after that, I decided that I was going to show up the best of who God created me to be and encourage others to do the same. So when I left, I thought, yeah, when I left, I said, okay, I'm going to speak because I wanted people to hear my story. I wanted people to know that I was broken. I almost took my life. I ran away with 10 black trash bags. Mm. I was homeless. And here I am today, the vice president at a major Fortune 500 retail establishment.
Yeah.
And so I wanted people to hear that story and to know that they can do anything they put their mind to. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. It takes the zeal of not quitting. And so that's all I focused on. So I went to Toastmasters. I got a coach, spent a lot of money just creating a speaking platform, right?
I see.
But you know that can't be all, right?
It's not enough.
I'm like, okay, so listen, when nobody is knocking on the door for me to speak, I got to do something else.
Yes.
So I create this coaching program. The reason why I created it was all of my 25 years at Macy's had given me from an experience perspective. I'm like, let me put this into play and let me use my personal skills plus my professional skills, put it together, create a program and teach people how to get out of stuck and into success, to get out of being a victim and become a victor, to get out of being broken and become brave. And so I created a program and started coaching. So now I became a speaker and a coach. But you know, that was not enough, right, Coach?
Exactly.
Like,
so what was next? Yes.
So now I'm itching, right? Now I'm itching and I'm like, I need to write my story. Somebody needs to hear the story about Bags in the Attic. Like, I have the title forever. Somebody needed to hear the story about Bags in the Attic. And so every time I sat down to write it, it stirred up things that was just too much. So I couldn't write it. I put it down. And then one day, I heard a spirit of a voice of the Lord. You know, we Christians, we always talk about here. This is the voice of God, right?
Yes.
Whether or not it is, it. That's our way of saying we have an idea. Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I had this idea of putting out a journal, but I didn't want it to be a cookie cutter journal where it was just a journal with lines and I wanted to create something that was unique. And because I knew what I went through the 7 years, going through abuse, I wanted to create a journal where someone could pick up this book. And instead of just writing alone, there would be an opportunity for them to read a scripture, you know, say a prayer. Because so often when you're going through difficulties, you don't know how to pray. You don't even know what to say. Words escape you. And you're like, God, I don't know what to say. I don't want to know what to do. I'm in this bad space. So I decided I was going to create a devotional journal where you would have scriptures and overview and prayer. And at first I said, all right, I'll do 110 because that's the number I found, right? Mm-hmm. But 110 was a random number. But being in retail and in the corporate world for so long, 90 days is a probationary period, right?
It's
a quarter. Most companies mm-hmm. look at their business quarterly. Mm-hmm. And if you're going for a job, there's a 90-day period. And after that, you're supposed to, okay, now you have the hang of whatever it is, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, let me call it 90 days to a victorious you, because after a 90-day period, there should be some sort of peace, some sort of comfort, some sort of hope, some sort of forgiveness happening if you consistently do it over a 90-day period.
Powerful.
And so that's how I started. And I wrote that book in 27 hours and sent it into the publisher.
Yes.
27 hours. I started 6 a.m. one morning, and I went all the way until 9 a.m. the next day. No sleep, just water, hot tea, and Kirk Franklin Losing My Religion CD in my ears. That's how I wrote the book.
Wow. So within, again, what's the name of the book again?
The first one was 90 Days to a Victorious You.
It was like a spirit. This power just took over, mm-hmm. and you just delivered. It reminds me of the great novelists that go into the mountains and they, they disappear.
Yeah.
And then they come back after a weekend, and then they have like a 500-page series or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's incredible. And then after you... No, I want to stop for a second. I want to ask you, what type of feedback did you get from people who read your book, who actually grew from what you shared?
Yeah. So the first book, The 90 Days to a Victorious You, it hit the bestseller list the very first day it launched, within 4 hours.
Terrific.
And I was just blown away. But that's the book that I created. I built an entire company on that book, Victorious You, which is my company. I built it just from that book. And the feedback was amazing. Until this day, that book was written in 2016, and I've sold thousands of copies of that book all over this world. That book has been almost every country, except for a country that does not speak English, but that book has been everywhere, and I still get, feedback. Joan, thank you. This book has really helped me. When I was going through a difficult or a dark time, it really did help me. So that was my first taste of writing, and I realized that I loved it because I journal a lot. I write every day.
Yeah.
Every day, every thought, every feeling, every idea is written. Nothing goes by. There's no waste when it comes on to what I think, or if there's a thought, everything is written. Sometimes there's 4 or 5 different writing things that I have in front of me. But I believe in Habakkuk 2:2 that says, write the vision, make it plain. I really think if you have a thought and it's a great thought, unless you put it on paper, it will never manifest. It will never come to fruition, because if you forget it, then there was not a record of it. But if you write it down, even if you decide, you know what, I may not be able to get this accomplished right now, but maybe down the road, but there's always a record. You can always go back and revisit and then put some action plans and, who knows, move the needle in a forward motion direction. And who knows what will happen to that thing, that thought, that idea that you had gotten. So people always say to me, I love this book. You should continue writing. And I never stopped. And so... Coach, this is the book that launched this year, May 13th, was my 10th book in 4 years.
Oh, my God. That's
so
fantastic. I know that where you've helped me as an author is that I am a creative being, and I remember having a session with you, and you pulled out the feeling and said, okay, it's good you got that all out. You need some structure. You need strategy. So I see why you're a publisher as well. Do you coach authors? Do you coach other authors?
I do. Because a lot of times that's where people who want to write, especially if they're writing for the first time, there is this fear. Do I have enough to write, to put a book? You know, am I good enough to write this? Will somebody want to read what I write? And will this impact anyone? And the answer is yes, 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 and yes.
Yeah.
You know, but so often we think about ourselves as, okay, I did not go to school to be a writing expert, or I don't have a degree in writing or creative writing. Can I become an author? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, we have people that make it look so difficult. It's really simple. You have a thought, you have an idea, you have a gift, you have a message, you have a story. Write it. It's legacy. You know, write it and get it published. It is a part of your legacy. And so, yes, for any person that wants to publish with my company, there is 3 separate coaching sessions, one for the writing, one to help them get on the best-selling list, and one to help them market their book after their book is out.
Well, I know 4 people I need to send to you right away. So thank you for sharing that. That's incredible. And you know what you're doing. You have a proven record of it. So that's fantastic. So what
thank
I'm getting
you.
From you is this, this journey that you've been on, you know, your company had this like momentum and you knew your audience and, you know, you focused on, of course, helping people and speaking and being an author. But then 2020 happened, right? And I like to learn from you. Did you have to shift or pivot this year? And what happened to take you there if that happened to you?
So, that was just, that's a loaded question. You want me to go through the whole thing? listen. So there was a period in 2019, towards the end, 2019, September. You know, once a year I have this big conference, and my conference was planned for October of last year. But about 8 weeks out from the conference, there was a series of events that happened that really would take out the average person. Things just started falling apart. My keynote speaker called me and said, I can't do this anymore. I'll send you back your money. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I'm like, whew. So like, the keynote speaker who I was banking on to bring the audience, to bring the people, because if I put her name up, she's a celebrity. If I put her name out there, I'm going to get more people to my conference, right? And I remember when she said, I can't, and I'm going to refund your money, I was not as devastated as I thought I would be, but now I'm like, I was like, what do I do now? Who do I get? And I remember sharing that with a cousin of mine who said, it's your conference. You are the keynote.
Amen.
And I'm just, woo, never thought about it that way. So that happened. And then a month before the conference, my brother's wife died. And everything just went downhill. So long story short, I had to cancel the conference, which was devastating to me. Because, you know, when you're in this business space, as you know, coach, you try to be a part of this vision of what you think this business space is.
Definitely.
But I have since learned, to each his own. You know, create your own lane and don't be like everybody else. And so I was trying to be a part of the everybody else. And I'm thinking, well, if I cancel my conference, I'm going to lose people. I'm going to lose my loyal audience. I'm going to lose the people that paid and wanted to come. And I'm going to feel like a failure in front of my peers, my entrepreneurial peers. But then it was heavy on my heart. And I went to bed one night and I heard like a voice that shift. And I got up. And I called the person that was running the conference for me and said, I'm canceling, but I'm not canceling. I'm just shifting. That's the word I use. I'm shifting. And I'm changing the date to March 2020. And so we did. And I refunded money and I did what I had to do. Went to the funeral. I felt so relieved. Got ready for my conference. Planning for 2020. And while I was in that space in towards October of 2019, I felt like I got into a place where I felt depressed for a long time. I'd not feel that way. I felt stuck. I felt like I failed myself because of canceling the conference. But in hindsight, looking back, my whole reason for thinking that I failed myself is what I thought people thought of me. Does that make sense?
It does. So, absolutely.
Yeah. So now I'm taking on this spirit of, oh, I failed myself because others must have looked at me as a failure because I had to cancel my own conference. And so I found myself in a place that I was not used to. And this was during the time that I was writing Bags in the Attic or completing Bags in the Attic. And so I completed that book from a place of pain. So I was writing about my pain, but I was also writing during the time when I was in a lot of pain because my sister-in-law had just died. And so I felt like the book was raw. You know, I gave rawness, and maybe it was just a divine thing, because had I not been feeling that way, I don't know if the book would have been as raw as it was, you know? And so once I was completed with the book and sent it off to the, because, you know, I don't publish some of that book I didn't want to publish on my own. Mm-hmm. I wanted somebody else to be responsible for the content and the excellence of that book. I didn't want to deal with it. Once I wrote it, I didn't want to do anything else with it. So I had my, a friend of mine published it. But I started thinking about, God, what do I need to do to change? Something has got to give, you know? Speaking coaching is one thing, but I need products. I need tangible things, because in a service-based business, you have to be able to create products to go with your service.
That makes
always
sense. Yes.
Always have to create products to go with your service. So I started to wonder, what is this? What is the product I'm going to create? So I started doing candles and T-shirts and jewelry and things like that. But in the midst of all of that, one thing that I was hiding was the gift that I have of helping people give birth to their story. Because I'd done it for so long and done it for so many people, but I never looked at it as a gift until someone picked up the phone in October and called me and said, I know you're a coach. I know you can coach people to write their book, but I want you to help me publish mine. I'm like, nope, not doing it. No.
It's not my lane.
It's not my lane. I have friends that's their lane. And so I'm going to send you to my friends, right? And so I gave her the rundown of the difference between traditional publishing, hybrid publishing, self-publishing, what the market cost, the value is going for nowadays. And we talked through the whole thing, how to get on the bestseller list, the market, and all of it. And I said, take 48 hours, talk to your husband, come back to me. Husband came back. She talked to her husband. She came back and says, not only do I want you to help me write my book, but you are the publisher. So tell me your price and send me a contract. And when you do, you can call me back. And she hung up the phone. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did she just tell me I need to give her a price and a contract? So now I'm frantic. I'm like, what do I charge? Oh, my God, I don't have a contract. So I sent to a friend of mine and I said, hey, do you have a contract that you can send me so I can look at it and edit, you know, to fit what I need to do? And then I think about all of the other hybrid publishers and what they were charging, because I know, because I have so many friends in it. And I'm like, all right, let me come in a little shorter because this is new. But Coach Cabrina, the minute I said yes to that lady, and she was a pastor, the minute I said yes to her and I sent her the contract, she signed it, she paid me October of 2019, the doors of heaven opened. And 2 weeks later, I signed another contract. 2 weeks later, I signed another contract. 2 weeks later, I signed another contract. Two weeks later, and they just started coming. By the time January came around, I had to hire a personal assistant. I had to hire, well, on contract, 3 editors, a graphic designer, and 2 typesetter, because the work was just... Oh, my God. So, and I did not advertise the business.
Isn't that something?
Can I just tell you, never, it wasn't anywhere out there, but one person kept telling, the other kept telling, the other kept telling, the other. And the next thing you know, I have a list of people whose book I'm publishing. And so because I know what it takes to grow and scale a business, I realize I need to get some help or else it's going to fall apart. And so I implemented, so we implemented the structure, the brand, the brand values, the core values, the brand messaging, the model for the company, the standards of operating procedures. We created an A to Z checklist. And I mean, I just went in full-fledged publishing mode.
Yes.
And what that showed me was I had all of them gifts buried on the inside, not doing a thing with them.
Well, and it also shows how much of a true entrepreneur you are. You know,
yeah.
Like the greatest entrepreneurs, you know, when you think of artists, they don't just do music. They have a clothing line. Some of them.
There you go. Yes.
So that's fantastic. And you said something that sparked a question for me. Do you teach small businesses about their brand?
Yeah. Well, I don't teach branding, but I teach how to start and position yourself for growth.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So I teach like startup business. What is your blueprint? How do you start the foundation? The foundation is not the first thing in a small company or a startup company is the marketing piece. That's the first thing. And a lot of people miss that. See, we're so excited about starting our businesses that we will think about, all right, I want to be a speaker. I want to be a coach. I want to open this boutique. I want to do this online. I want to start these online courses, whatever it is that, but we never think about the marketing. And the marketing is, who is going to buy it? Who is the audience? If you can't connect with that audience and connect to their pain point and provide a solution for their pain point, you don't have a business.
Makes sense.
You don't have a business. So I help people create the foundation. Yeah.
You have so many talents. And that's, you know, I'm no fool. I surround myself around people who help me grow. And there's so many things that you're good at. And I hope that people that are hearing this, that are thinking about starting a business, now is the time, more than ever.
Oh,
if you need
man.
To write that book, you have to write that book. This year is a perfect time to do it, right?
Yes.
And if you have that small company, you know, this year is the year of plan B, you know, I've been saying. So tell me, okay, so we found out about the conference, how you shifted, how your business shifted, and then we landed in 2020.
Girl, this is the sweet part. This is the part. I couldn't wait for you to ask me that. So March 2020, the conference was planned, right? So now I have my whole plan, right?
Yes.
I started the publishing company. My conference from 2019 was going to be in March 2020. I have my entire lineup. Everything is ready to go 10 days before the conference. Our state shut down.
What?
Yes, coronavirus.
No.
Our conference was March the 28th and the 29th.
Oh.
And the governor says, no meeting, no conferencing, no nothing, no crowd over 5 people.
Oh, no.
So my heart sank, and I'm like, okay, I called the lady who is running, helping me run my conference, and I'm like, okay, what do we do? So we had to call the hotel. We had to cancel. Now I had to reach out to all the speakers. I have to reach out to all the vendors. I have to reach out to all the people that were supporting me because, you know, Lexus was a sponsor. So we had some great sponsors. Yes, so now I'm reaching out to all the sponsors. I'm reaching out to everybody, and finally I had to reach out to the attendees to let them know. But before I did that, in our conversation, the lady and I talked about, so what if we just shift, right? What if we just shift instead of a live event, let's change the date to September, right? So mm-hmm. everybody would ticket with their tickets would still be valid for September. But let us make a shift. And so the dates when we were supposed to have it in March, why don't we do something virtual to keep them engaged? We don't want to lose their, right?
That was smart, yes.
So we said, okay. So we looked at the calendar and I said, all right, we're going to shift. So 10 days before the original date, so on the 18th, I sent an email out to all the attendees and I said, listen, we can't come together for a live event because of COVID-19 and our state is shut down and most states are. New York is shutting down. Everywhere we're shutting down.
Yes,
it was. So we want to do something online, virtual, on a Zoom, but we don't want to do it 2 full days, right? We want to do 4 hours each day. We'll keep it the same day, and we'll do an edited version
mm-hmm.
of what we were going to do. And every speaker said yes to speaking for 20 minutes as opposed to an hour as how it would have been prior.
That's great.
Every attendee mm-hmm. said yes.
Mm.
Every speaker said
that's
yes.
Great.
And so 10 days out, we planned this virtual launch. I mean, when I tell you, I told them to bring their wine glass with their favorite immunity beverage, and we just mm-hmm. had a blast.
That's
virtually.
So fantastic.
And so I pitched an anthology on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? Right now, we're locked in, right? We're in quarantine. But
mm-hmm.
how amazing it would be if I just have 20 women that come together and decided we're going to write a book together about the image in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What did I see looking at myself that changed how I thought about me?
Mm, that's deep and scary. You know, so asking people to do that, that the thought process they probably went through before they said yes to you, right? So,
and
so please 20, tell me.
Yes, 21 women said yes.
Mm.
And they signed up right there. And then in the pandemic, the second day of the virtual event, and so we started writing The Image in the Mirror, which will come out the end of the year.
Oh, I can't wait to get a copy of that. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So you definitely wear an S on your chest, right?
Listen, talk about spinning. Pivoting, I spin around 360.
You,
I passed around.
But the thing that to me that makes you so incredible is that, you know, although you have all of these gifts and you have the ability to pivot, you are vulnerable, you're humble, but you're also courageous, right? You're generous with your information. You taught us a few things in the time that, you know, I've been talking to you.
Yeah.
And just your drive, I can hear it, you know? I hear it's just like, what's next? It's always what's next. So I'm asking you, I want to know, we're kind of closing out, but I want to know two things. What's next for you? And then how can we get in touch with you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for me is, this is just right. And I love you, Coach Karina, because you just know exactly what to ask. So on Sunday of last week,
mm-hmm.
I planned my business all the way through the end of 2022.
Okay.
So I have an action plan for this business, Victoria's Hue Press, all the way through the end of 2022. So I know what I'm doing for next year, spring, next year, fall, spring of 2022 and spring on and fall of 2022. And so some of the things that will be coming up is that I specifically call this company Victoria's Hue Press because I do not only want to publish books.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get into magazine publishing. But down the road, we're also going to get into podcasts for authors at some point. So for every author that comes in and is a part of the Victoria's Hue Press, they go through a podcast similar to what you and I are doing, and that will allow them to get a press release that will go out to every major television network so that their book, the you know, the press release for their book will be seen on TVs or television stations all around the globe. And so, and then next, what we want to do is also create a channel, a Victoria's Secret Press channel on one of these streaming networks, whether it's Roku or whichever one. I'm actually in talks and contracts for that. So we will have a Victoria's Secret Press channel, and we'll be able to rent out days and hours on those channels for people to do their radio shows or their podcast shows live, right?
So smart.
Some of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then down the road, we want to take it a step further so people can come in and do their audiobooks with our company and then take it a step further and do something like if someone writes a anthology, how do they go beyond that and do something like a documentary on the anthology? So that's kind of in the future, but that's where we're heading. Next year, 2021, I'm going to be partnering with a COO, someone that will be able to come on board and run the project management, you know, back of house, from pen to the publishing side, and I will run all of the sales and the front end. So those are what those are some of the things that are in the work that are on pen, you know, pen and paper already, and in the works for us to just grow and scale and just keep moving up. But yeah, that's it.
I mean, do you wake up with roller skates? Holy cow!
So it sounds like I'm going to be reaching out to you on a personal level as well, because you listed some things that I know that I'm going to need. So thank you for sharing that. I can't wait to do business with you. How do we find you on social media? And how do we put your website, whatever you need to share, because we need you. So how do we get in contact with you?
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate it, and I'm humbled, believe me. For social media, it's Joan T. Randall everywhere. So whether it's Facebook, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Twitter or it's Instagram, it's Joan T. Randall. Very, very simple. That's the branding thing, right? Where everything is just the same.
Yes.
It's a branding strategy, so it's easy to find.
Yes.
And then my website is joantrandall.com. For everything, and then with Victoria's Secret Press, it will be victoriasupress.com. So those are the two websites that I have.
That's fantastic.
And, yep.
Mm-hmm. And you have this Facebook Live that's really powerful. If we want to see you and feel that fantastic energy and get the message that you send, how can we find you?
So I have a Facebook group that's called The Limitless Books and Business. And I created that group about, I don't even remember when I created it, maybe 2017. Yeah, 3 years ago, 2017. And I did that because I wanted to build a tribe. And I felt like building a tribe is, you know, there's certain things that I do in that group that's special to that group that you will not see me do on my personal Facebook page, because these people are my ride and die. They buy my programs. They buy everything I sell. They download my books. They're on Facebook Lives with me. And so I create this tribe of people that I love. So every Monday for 2.5 years, I've been doing this, Coach. Every Monday, I do a Monday morning motivation. And I change up the name every year. So like this year, it's called Jesus, Joan, and Journal. It really is about finding the hope, finding the light, finding the peace, finding the joy, even in difficult situations. It's like in a storm, how do you find that moment of clarity? How do you find that moment of joy, of peace, of gratitude, even if you are in a storm? And how you can journal that or write that or speak it in a recording, so that when you find yourself in some difficult situations, you go back to your journal, you go back to your recording and you listen to it. You go back to your Bible, or you go back to the place that makes you feel the most at peace, and just, you know, draw in to yourself personally and be able to sustain that storm or sustain yourself in that storm. It is something that I've learned to do, that mm-hmm. in spite of what is going on, whether it's a pandemic, whether you're closed in, there is a way to just get within yourself and find that space, that quiet, that downtime that you can rejuvenate.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can do that for you but you. So
you
every,
have to take it. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So every Monday at 7:30 in my Facebook group, The Limitless Books and Business, you will find me there. And then I usually just post it on my personal Facebook page, Joan Dexter Randall, as well. So I do 2.5 years I've been doing it, Coach.
Well, I mean, part of your success, not only is it courage, it's consistency.
Yeah.
You know, that's the common thread I've heard from you,
mm-hmm.
from your career at Macy's to,
mm-hmm.
you know, going into entrepreneurship to just everything you do is consistent. And
yeah.
you are brave enough to change.
Yeah.
To know when you need to move on and do something
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of businesses, you know, just collapse because people give up
mm-hmm.
and they don't know that
mm-hmm.
they need to shift. You are.
Yeah.
A living testimonial of what success and resilience looks like. And
wow, thank you.
I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough for sharing your gifts, you know, with the world. And, you know, to the audience, if you want to write that first book, if you want to learn how to be a speaker, Joan Randall is like the person to connect to. You know, if you don't know how to heal, just watching her speak will give you motivation to take care of yourself. So, Coach, I appreciate your time, and, you know, I love you, and I just think you're fantastic. You know, I know I'm going to see Joan T. Randall worldwide. That's coming. I know that. I see it because you're already selling your books, you know, across the world. So
yes,
thank you so much for your time, and you know, thanks again, Coach. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. I love you guys, and again, just thank you.
That's fantastic. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.